Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heart, an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Church. Our ministry website is www.newvisionforlife.com, where we align our heart with the heart of God. Please join our host, Apostle Etta Banks, and Minister Tabika Garnes, as we get to the heart of the matter.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning, beloved. This is Apostle Etta Banks, your host on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. And, of course, I have with me this morning my beautiful co-host, beloved, darling, sweetheart, person that I trust with my life, Minister Tabika Garnes. Good morning, precious. Good morning, good morning.
Good morning. How are you? What a beautiful morning it is.
It is a beautiful morning. Praise be unto God. It is beautiful.
Yes.
Looking forward to the rest of this day. I certainly am.
Yes,
amen.
Me too.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, good morning to Tamika. God bless you, beautiful. God bless you. Good morning to Joyce and Lester Richardson. Good morning to Joyce in New York. God bless you, woman of God. God bless you. Good morning to Anita, to Isaiah in Pennsylvania, and Isaiah in Chicago. Good morning to Deacon Banks. Good morning to Prophetess Kim and Prophetess Dorn. Good morning, excuse me, to all of our New Vision listeners. Good morning to all of you. It is an awesome day in the Lord, an awesome time to be together, and we truly praise God for the day. Truly praise God for the day. Minister Tabika, before I turn it back over to her, I just wanted to remind those of you that, well, were on the show last week, and you heard Minister Shelley Eldridge in dealing with good success. I believe she talked about last week. Today is the day that she's having her workshop dealing with, gosh, I forgot. What is it, Bika?
You don't move me on the spot. Wait a minute.
Okay, okay.
Hold on. Wait a bit.
Okay.
Wait a bit.
Anyway.
Oh, wait a minute. It's called.
All right.
It's
you go
called,
ahead.
I got it. Hold on.
She is the confidence coach.
Good success. Yeah.
Good success. Okay.
Intentional action. This is her master class.
Right.
Yeah, her master class.
Right. And so those of you that desire to attend that master class today is at 3:00. It's $47 to attend. And go to her website to register. You have to register for it. And it's virtual. So go to the website. And do you have that information too, Bika?
Mm-hmm. Her website
is
the Confidence Coach. The Confidence.
ConfidenceCoach.org. So go there and you can register for the workshop. But she is the guest that we had on last week. Awesome. Interview we had with her. She was also on Tabika's show. What is it called? What Friday?
Freedom Friday.
Freedom Fridays. She was also on that show, and you know we got a great response coming from people about it. So I encourage you, please, to listen. Wait a minute. When I say listen, you can go to New Vision's website and hear the teaching that she did for our church on last Sunday. You can hear that. That was awesome. It was awesome. So you can go to the website, www.newvisionforlife.com. Go to our website, and you can hear what she taught us last Sunday. And then today at 3 o'clock is the master class, 1 hour long, 45 minutes of teaching, 15 minutes of Q&A, $47. And she is Shelly Eldridge, the confidence coach. All right. All righty. All righty. So we got that out there for you. Got that out there for you. So we hope that you, you know, you will tune in and really get some information, a lot of testimonies, you know, talking about how people's lives really did change with the life coaching that she's done with them. They changed spiritually, financially, business-wise. It just awesome stuff, awesome stuff. So we encourage you to do that. Okay, beloved, it's in your hands, darling. You want to open us up in prayer. Take us to the throne room so we can meet God this morning. I'm excited about today. Praise the Lord. So let's get to it. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Well, real quick before I dive deep into prayer, I just want to say good morning to each and every one of you all. Thank you so much for joining us again this morning. God is so good, and we just give him praise, and we thank you all for your loyalty and your faithfulness to this show. We don't take it for granted, and we just bless God because he knows what he's doing. Even when we don't understand it, he knows exactly what he is doing. So to God be the glory. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Lord, we bless you. Lord, we love you. Lord, we thank you. Hallelujah. Lord, we honor you, for there is none like you. Hallelujah, Lord God. We lift you up, Lord God. We lift you up, Father, in the name of Jesus, oh God. In the middle of the storm, Lord God, we lift you up, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord God, in our darkest moments, Father God, when we don't know which way to go, oh God, we will praise you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, oh God. We will worship, Lord God, ourselves out of situations in the name of Jesus, Lord. Lord, we just give you praise, oh God, because we know when we worship, Lord God, Lord, we know that chains and shackles fall off, Lord God. We know that barriers that the enemy put up against us fall, Lord God. We know when we worship you, Lord God, mental turmoil and stress and anger and hurt, oh God, and offense and brokenness will fall off of us. Lord God, we just thank you, oh God, that we can worship you. We thank you, Lord God, that when we worship you, Lord God, the enemy must flee. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, that you left us with tools. You left us with resources, oh God. You left us with all the things we needed to be successful Christians in this fallen and broken world. Father God, so we just thank you, Lord God. We thank you for choosing us. We thank you for creating us in your image, oh God. We thank you for loving us unconditionally, Lord. We thank you, oh God, for loving us even when our parents didn't love us, oh God. Hallelujah. Yes. In the name of Jesus, Lord God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for healing our hearts, oh God, because the very people, Lord God, that were supposed to love us didn't love us, Lord. And so, Lord, we just give you praise. Hallelujah. We bless your name, Father. Hallelujah, Lord God. We honor you and we bless you, Lord, because we know that there is none like you. And we also know that no matter what we walk through, what we go through, Father, that you are right here with us. You are right here with us. Hallelujah. For you said that you would never leave us nor forsake us. And God, we just thank you that you are the only one that will never leave us nor forsake us, Father. Lord God, even in the times where we've done stuff and said stuff, Lord God, that you weren't pleased with, you did not walk away from us, oh God. And Father, Lord, we just thank you for who you are. We thank you, Lord God, that even in those times when we must say goodbye to a situation
or a person, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that you, Father God, that you are with us, Father, in the name of Jesus. We thank you that you are a constant in our lives, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, God. And we know that everybody will not always love us the way that you love us, Lord God. And that is the beauty of who you are, Lord God. And we give you praise, Lord. We give you praise. We give you praise, oh God. And on this line today, Father, I pray that you heal our minds, that you heal our hearts, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you heal our bodies, that you heal our spirits, Father, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, I thank you. I thank you that your promises are yes and amen. I thank you that your word shall never return unto you void, oh, God, no matter, God, in the times when we run from it. Father God, we can run as long as we want to, but eventually we're going to have to surrender, oh God. And I just bless you, Lord God, because even in that, Lord God, you're still guiding us. You're still walking us through. You're still preparing us and equipping us for who you called us to be, oh God. And I pray that in this season, people will embrace who you called them to be, Lord God, that fear and pain and anguish, Lord God, will not continue to be their God, oh Lord God, that they would say yes to you, that they would submit, Lord God, that they would surrender their lives over to you in the name of Jesus, Lord, and not look back to the things that were, but look forward to the things that are to come. Oh God, we just thank you right now that you're equipping us and you're growing us now in the name of Jesus, Lord God. We thank you, Father God, that every step of the way you are holding our hands. Oh God, you are ministering to us in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord God, you are healing, oh God, those broken places, Lord, that we thought couldn't be healed in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh God, we just give you praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord God, thank you that we were on your mind before we were even born, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, that our names, that we are engraved, Lord God, in the palms of your hands, oh God. And if we could just picture you opening up your hands, oh God, that we would see our names in your palms, Father God, just in your palm, that you, Lord God, I would see Tabika in your palm, oh God, that Apostle would see her name in the palms of your hands, oh God, and that all of our listeners, Lord God, could just envision their name in the palm of your hand, oh God, knowing that you are holding us, Lord God, knowing, Lord God, that when you look at your hands, you see us, Father. Hallelujah, Lord God. There is none like you, Lord God. And we just thank you, Father God, for all that you're doing in our lives, Lord God, even when we don't understand it, Lord God, even when we can't see what you're doing, Father God, even when we can't feel what you're doing, Lord God, we know that you're doing something. Hallelujah, that you have not forgotten about us, Father, Lord God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Even when we feel rejected, Lord God, that you will fill that place, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, oh God. We just give you praise, oh God, for you and you alone. You and you alone. There can never be another like you, Father God. And so, Lord, we just say thank you. Thank you for your grace and your mercy over our lives, even now, Father God. And thank you for keeping us when we didn't want to be kept, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, we love you. We bless you. We honor you. And we thank you, Lord, for all that you are doing, all that you have done, and everything to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, amen.
Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. We truly do thank the Lord, hallelujah, for hearing our prayers this morning. Thank him so much for who he is and what he's doing. There is none like him. There is none like him. So we are very grateful. Thanks to God. Remember, that as you are listening to the program today and any Saturday that you're listening to the program, you can always touch one on your keypad if you would like to make a comment or ask a question, join in the conversation, however it is that God would have you do. Press one on your keypad and we will know and we will bring you in on the conversation. We appreciate you in doing so. We're going to be dealing with and continuing a conversation that we started 2 weeks ago, dealing with depression, and especially about Christians with depression. And very quickly, just to do the three that we covered, we did situation depression, which is exactly what it sounds like. It is depression that is caused by a certain situation, and that generally clears up with time. When the situation is resolved or is accepted, that depression normally disappears with that happening. Clinical depression is an ongoing condition. It can last anywhere from a day, from one day up to 2 weeks. It interferes with your day-to-day life at work, at school, at home. Your sleep habits become disturbed, and it can be triggered by a trauma, but it is not caused by medication or a medical condition. So that would be your clinical depression. And I said up to 2 weeks. I meant longer than 2 weeks. So it can last every day for most of the day. It can last every day for most of the day and for longer than 2 weeks' time, clinical depression. Chronic depression, that's less intense than the clinical depression, but it can last much longer. It can go on for years, 2 years, 5 years. It can go on for. It's characterized by fatigue, sadness. It can be punctuated by bouts of clinical depression. Chronic depression doesn't feel good, but it doesn't typically affect the lifestyle or the ability to work. People go to work every day, go to school. They can put on the face, look like they're not going through any trouble, any changes and so forth. And they make it, and that's chronic depression. And you can have the bouts of the clinical depression in that, where it interferes with your lifestyle. And chronic depression, normally, you can go about life like everything is okay. Before the fall of man, there was no sin, no shame, no fear, no depression. And depression is a result of the fall. So y'all hear that, okay, because we're getting into, about us as Christians dealing with this. So as a result of the fall with Adam and Eve, depression has entered in. And those that suffer from depression find that it has its ramifications in all parts of human life, external, personal, mental, physical, and spiritual. It comes in all of these areas of our life. So the first one that's new to us today that we're going to touch on is the external depression. External depression, now this has a strong genetic component. However, many depressive episodes are triggered by an external situation. The death of a loved one is a common trigger. Sustained stress. Winter time, even a busy life can also lead to depression. And in Psalms 143, verse 3 and 4, says, "For the enemy has pursued my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me sit in darkness like those long dead. Therefore, my spirit faints within me, and my heart within is appalled." Can you get the picture of that? This is the English version of this Bible that we're using. But can you get that picture that is being spoken of there? How the enemy pursues you and has you crushed to the ground. You're sitting in darkness, you know. And this is due, like I said, to you being depressed about whatever it is that it that you are looking at. That is the external depression. A busy life, you can be so busy that there is no joy, no happiness, no time for relaxation, no time to enjoy life, you know. Everything is just bang, 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 bang. It's one thing after another. And you know, and listen, when I say a busy life, it doesn't have to be that the busyness is all dealing with trauma and bad things. You can be busy doing good things, but you're just so busy that in it all, you know, your body isn't being restored. Your mind is not being restored. Spiritually, you're not being restored. And so, therefore, that will cause and can lead to depression. Your spirit can faint within you. So that would be the external depression. Darling, you can go ahead and do the next one.
Amen. All right. So the next one is personal depression, and our mm-hmm. choices, our personal choices can play a role in depression. It's been said that depression is sin, but it's more accurate to say that sin can lead us to feel or feeds depression. So,
yes.
You know, let's go back to where it says it's been said that depression is sin. So this is where, as Christians, we get caught up, because people will make you feel like you have committed a sin because you're depressed. And so what happens is a lot of Christians won't share the fact that they are depressed because they are afraid of the judgment that may come after it. Because sometimes we put these burdens on ourselves as Christians sometimes, and especially us that have titles, because it's like we're afraid that people may look at us differently if we have titles and we say that we are depressed. And so it's like, oh, I can't share that because they may think that I'm weak, or they may think because I have this title that I'm not supposed to go through this. And if people are looking at me like, well, if she's going through that, then, you know, it's no hope for me. If, you know, if the minister is going through that, then it's no hope for me. And that's the, you know, the biggest trick of the enemy is to keep us to thinking that, keeping us from not sharing that. And so as we're not sharing that, he's beating us up about it, and it's causing us to go deeper into a depression. So for those of us that have titles, you know, don't get caught up in that. I'm talking to myself as well, because there's been many a times where mm-hmm. I've been depressed and was afraid to say something because I didn't want people to be like, well, you're a minister. What do you mean you're depressed? Or you're a minister, so I can't count on you anymore, because if you're depressed, you can't help me. So, you know, all of that, mm-hmm. trying to get over all of that, again, it's something that we all have to work on, because God is the only one that can lead us through it. But if we don't want to share and we want to be tight-lipped, then he's like, okay, how can I help you if you won't let? So I just wanted to put that out there. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Also, depression can be caused by alcohol and drug abuse, indulging in anger and self-centeredness, and other self-destructive behaviors. So sin always has negative consequences. And part of any therapy for depression should include an analysis of what sins could be exacerbating the situation. So I'm going to read Psalm 32, 3 through 5, and it says, when I kept silence, I'm going to say that again. When I kept silence, and this is the King James mm-hmm. version, because I just mentioned about silence, okay, not saying anything.
Mm-hmm.
When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. In verse 5, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. So don't be afraid to open your mouth, because we all know that God wants to help us, and he's not there to judge us. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The next one is mental depression. And so mental depression is driven by negative feelings, also perceptions and thoughts, and unbiblical beliefs about one's value, and the ability often contribute to depression. So that means when we beat ourselves up, also when we compare ourselves to other people, when we devalue ourselves, when we have negative perceptions and thoughts about ourselves, this can cause depression. The Bible exhorts us to take thoughts captive. 2 Corinthians 10 and 5. Let me read that real quick. Hold on. 2 Corinthians 10 and 5, it says, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. So don't let those thoughts, don't let them just play around in your head. You know, you have to take them captive. You talk about them. You release them. You don't let them just stay in your head and just talk to you, or you don't let just you know, anybody that's around you that's negative, you may have to consider, you know, departing from them respectively. In order to concentrate on the truth of a situation and not a faulty perception, we have to take our thoughts captive. And to rely on God's word, we should be relying on God's word and not our feelings. In John 8:32, it says, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And we know that Jesus is the truth. The word is the truth. In Psalm 56:4, it says, in God, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? What can it do to me? When I trust God, you know, when I praise God, when I love God, what can flesh do to me? And so what a person thinks, feels, and chooses to believe, true or not, can have physical repercussions. Refusing to believe the power and love of God, and concentrating on brokenness and pain would make anyone depressed. Like, who would not be depressed if your constant focus is brokenness and pain and rejection and hurt and all those negative things? Like, how can you not be depressed over that? Psalm 25:4-5 says, make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. And then Psalm 25:16-19 says, turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses. Consider my affliction and my trouble, and forgive all my sins. Consider how many are my foes, and with what violent hatred. Hold on, got to click on this. What violent hatred they hate me. And so, you know, the word of God is the answer to everything. I don't care what anybody says, even for depression. The word of God is the answer. David, you know, was depressed over some things. And he wrote down the things that he experienced, and he was not afraid to tell, you know, God how he was feeling. He wasn't quiet about it. He spoke what was on his heart and how he felt. He didn't try to hide
the way that he felt. And I know sometimes I try to hide from God the way that I feel about certain things, because I'm like, I'm talking to myself, but God is not viewing me as how I think he's viewing me when I have an issue about something. You know, he's listening, and he wants me to talk to him. So if my view of it is wrong, he can help me see that my view is wrong, and then he can show me how I should be looking at the situation. But he just wants us to be honest with him, because he already knows how we're feeling. So when we're trying to hide it, or we don't want to say anything because we think that God is going to think less of us or going to look at us differently, God is not like that. He wants us to be transparent with him. Even though he already knows, it's not for his benefit, it's for ours. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Let's see. I wanted to touch on, in that particular one, I wanted to touch on taking our thoughts captive. You know, a lot of times, mm-hmm. you know, we read the word, we hear Christians speaking, and they use certain terminology and so forth, and we don't know exactly what those things mean. And so in there where it says, take those negative thoughts, how do we do that? How do we do that? We have to, first of all, accept the responsibility for our thoughts. We have the ability to exercise control over our thoughts. We can have some very negative thoughts about many, many things, and it's left up to us to pull those thoughts down when they're in that negative place. Our minds, not just our behavior, our mind, which where our thoughts are coming to and from, it has to be changed. God called us to change our ways by the reading of his word. So even when Minister Tabika was reading the scriptures there, if you read those scriptures when you were having negative thoughts, if you had been reading them enough, this would help you to say, no, what that thought that just came to me, that is not the truth. That is not God's word. It is not the truth of the matter. And you, that way you're taking control of the thought instead of letting the thought, you know, run you. When we take time to our problems rather than just react to them, we then again are taking control of the thought. When we learn how to, when Satan tells you that you're worthless and that nobody cares about you, one of the first things you need to remember is the fact that Satan is a liar. He is a father of lies, and there is no truth in him. So if he tells you that nobody cares about you, if he tells you that nobody cares about you, that you are worthless, what you do with that is you say, Satan, you are a liar, and the truth isn't in you. And since this is what you are saying to me, then the very opposite of that has to be true. So somebody does care about me. Well, the first person that we know that cares about us is God Almighty. God loves us. God cares about us. God is concerned about us in every way, shape, and form. So if no man, woman, or child loves you, you know that God, he himself loves you, and he is greater, he's more important than mother, father, sister, brother, best friend, sons, daughters, whatever the case may be. It's the fact that God loves me. And I know how important it is, babies. I know, beloved, how important it is to have a human love you, to have a human touch, to know that somebody cares enough for you, that somebody values you. I know how important that is.
I know how bad it feels when you love somebody and you feel like they don't love you back. They don't give you the same value that you give them in your life. I understand that. Trust you, me. I understand it. However, God is wanting us not to let it be that man validates us, but that he validates us, that what man feels about us is more important to us than what God feels about us. So we have to really take those thoughts captive. We have got to work at doing that. And you choose to focus on the right things. Choose to focus on the right things. What is Philippians 4 and 8. Let me see if I can pull that up real quick. Oh, my goodness. Lord, help me, Jesus, to find this real quick. I need to pull that up because this is so important, baby. So important. So let's see here. Philippians. That's New Testament coming up after Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 8. Okay. Philippians, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on these things. Beloved, that's what God wants us to spend our time thinking on. And we can choose to focus on the right things, those things that are honorable, pure, lovely, admirable. And you know, listen. Understand that Satan fights us every day. Every day he wakes up, you know, he probably doesn't sleep, but every day it is his intention to have us in a depressed state, in a negative state, and anything that would come against the word of God, anything that would make us not believe that God cares, let alone that other people care. That is his job. That's what he's doing, and he does it well. We have to, after we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, we have to depend and ask and request the Holy Spirit to keep us, to help us, to lead us, to guide us. It is our responsibility to get the word in us that helps to transform us. When we know, see, prior to us getting saved, we didn't know how to act like Christ. We didn't know how to be strong in the times when we are weak. We didn't know that we had a comforter that lives within us that would comfort us. We didn't know that there were battles that we are fighting on a daily basis that have already been won in Christ Jesus. We didn't know that we had so much on our side that we were fighting all alone. We were in these battles all by ourselves. But baby, God is with us. And if God is with us, and then God is for us, if he is for us, who can really be against us? It's possible, beloved. It is possible to take your thoughts captive. You have to do it. It's a work. It is a process. It is not easy, but it is obtainable. Attainable. You can do this. It is not easy to retrain your thoughts or to respond in a Christ-like manner. The point is, it is possible. With God, all things are possible. And you will find out that once you take your thoughts captive, as you begin to do this daily, as you begin to do this, you will find out that you will have less and less negative thoughts. You know, there will be people that you are dealing with that are ready to fight you at the drop of a word. They are ready to fight. And instead of you fighting, take that negative thought captive. Even if you're dealing with somebody that is bringing up negative stuff, learn how to. They need to learn how to handle their negative thoughts. You need to learn how to handle your negative thoughts. A lot of times you get together and you're going in with killing on your mind. Sweetheart, the negative feelings that we have, the mental depression that is caused by our thought pattern, is something that we absolutely can control. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to obey Christ. Baby, that's what we have to do, beloved. We have to do this. Challenge your thoughts. Challenge them. When you get a negative thought telling you this negative thing, besides telling Satan he's a liar, challenge it. Say, now, is that what the word says? Does the word say I'm worthless? Or does the word say that I am fearfully and wonderfully made? And who did it? God made me. So challenge the negative thoughts that you get. Challenge them. And I hope I didn't take too much time on that, but to me that is so very, very important in our daily walk, that we are taking these thoughts captive and for you to understand it. Okay, the next one is spiritual depression. Spiritual depression. Depression has a definite spiritual element. It can be one of Satan's tools to take Christians out of the work of the kingdom. Depression can affect our view of God and sap our joy. It is impossible to live a spirit-guided life without joy. Now, you hear that. If you're leading a spirit-guided life, there is joy in your life. And how do I know that? Because Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and oops, I lost my place here. And faithfulness. Okay, that was it. That was it for that. So those are the fruit of the Spirit. That's the fruit of the Spirit. So if you're leading a Spirit-filled life, you must have joy. You must have joy. Then Philippians 4:14 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And again, you know, when the word repeats itself, you know, God really meant for you to get it, okay? He didn't just say rejoice in the Lord and let it be. He said rejoice in the Lord. When should we rejoice in the Lord? We rejoice in the Lord always. And what did he say after that? He said, again, I say rejoice. You know, because between the rejoice in the Lord and the word always, Satan would throw a negative thing up at you. So you got to come back again and rejoice again. Sometimes depression may be caused by direct demonic activity, but not always, not always. In 1 Samuel 16:14, the word says, now the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a harmful spirit from the Lord tormented him. And see how the demonic activity the depression was caused by that direct demonic activity. So that can happen. So now, how we handle depression is a highly spiritual matter. But the Bible tells us to cast all of our cares on God. Cast all of them. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all of your anxiety on him because he cares for you. He cares for you. So a remedy for a downcast soul is to place one's trust in God who saves. Why are you cast down, O my soul? and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. That's Psalms 42 and 11. A cast down soul. What the remedy for that is putting our trust in God. Putting our trust in God. Beloved, you may go ahead, darling, and do the next one.
Yes, ma'am. All right. The next one is physical depression. Depression can also affect our physical bodies in several ways. And so an injury or illness can trigger depression, and it can also hinder rehabilitation, causing a vicious cycle. Insomnia can also do the same thing. And so depression can also be caused by a simple brain chemical or hormonal imbalance that is easily solved with medication. Amen. So treatment treatment may require an attack on several fronts. So it could be temporary medication to relax the body and relieve the mind. It could be adjustments to the diet, confession of sin, and spiritual counsel. And so when sometimes depression can come from you having an illness, sickness, or injury, because it's like you're tired of going through the same thing. You know, you just want to be healed. And it can cause a depression because you feel like, you know, God is not hearing your cry. Like God is not seeing all the things that you're going through. And so that can cause us to get depressed as well. And it's not that God is not hearing us or seeing us, because he is. We have this thing where we want things to happen quickly for us. And, you know, understanding the beauty of who God is. And sometimes we get bent out of shape or whatever because God is not moving as fast as we want him to. And just, you know, to be transparent, when it comes to my husband and watching him, you know, go through his sickness. And, you know, sometimes I remember one day I was on my way to work, but when I left home, he wasn't feeling well. And I was on my way to work, and I was driving, and I was screaming at the same time. And what I was screaming, I was like, God, why don't you see him? You see, he's in so much pain. I feel like you're not doing anything. I don't understand why you're not doing anything, God. You see how much pain he's in? And it's like, but at that moment, as I'm screaming and driving, thank you, Lord, for keeping me and I didn't get in an accident. But at that moment where I was screaming and driving at the same time, I felt better. And when I say that I felt better, even in that moment that I was screaming, there was a peace that came afterwards. It was a peace that came afterwards where God just gave me this peace. And I didn't understand it, but it's like there was I can't explain it to tell you all, but know that it was a peace that came after that. And what happened was when I got home, I prayed over him. I used the oil and just prayed over him. So sometimes we see our loved ones and they're sick and they're not feeling well, and it's like you're at your wit's end because it's nothing else that you can do as the spouse. It's nothing else that you can do. And so when it's nothing else that you can do, this is when our actions to trust in God comes into play. And so I didn't have any other choice but to trust God, even watching him be sick, you know, watching him cry, you know, watching this grown man cry because he's not feeling well and he's tired of going through the same thing. And it hurts, you know, it hurts to see your spouse, your best friend going through this. But as the spouse, you have to talk to God and ask God how to help, you know, how to help your loved one. And so praying over him, you know, ministering to him, even in his darkest moments, ministering to him. And even then, because this has been months, you know, not months, it's been longer than months, it's been a year or two, but this has been a lifetime thing for him. But his situation, it reared its ugly head. It's like it flared up. And so, you know, when I was praying, still praying, it was like God was leading up to a moment. And the moment is where he is now, where God is working on him now about different things that he shared on the show before. So, you know, he's working through it. And listen to this, y'all. He's ministering to his friends. And that letter that he shared, I don't know if he shared it on here, but I think he shared it with you, Apostle, so you know what I'm talking about. So that,
right, yes.
That letter, yes, he has shared that with his friends. And, I mean, his friends are like, oh, my goodness, I need you to minister to me. I need you to help me to connect to God. Like, so God has a plan in everything that he does, you know. He has a plan in everything that he does. We just have to be still enough to listen and then be obedient enough to do what it is that he's telling us to do. So depression is complicated, multifaceted condition. Being depressed is not inherently sinful, and depression is not always caused by sin, nor does it indicate a lack of faith. I'm going to say that again.
Please say
nor
that again.
Does it indicate a lack of faith, people of God. Just because you may find yourself in bouts of depression does not mean that you have a lack of faith. So when depression strikes, the victim needs to make discovering the cause and treatment of the depression a priority. So when you feel that depression coming upon you, you take some time and think about or ask God, where is this coming from, God? What is causing this? And how do I deal with it? And listen, sometimes depending on how sensitive you are to the Spirit of God, you are feeling somebody else's depression. It's not even yours. You're feeling something that somebody else is going through. And so God may be preparing you to minister to that person, even though you may not even know who it is at the time. So, again, it does not indicate a lack of faith. So let's just let that go.
It doesn't always. Right, because sometimes a lack of faith does cause it, but it does not always indicate a lack of faith.
Amen.
I'm sorry,
so
sweetie.
Let's...
I'm sorry.
No, you're fine, Apostle. Because we have to say that. We have to say that because Satan beats us up over that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he does. Oh, you depressed? That means you don't have faith. Just like Apostle said, taking your thoughts captive, speaking to those things. You know, when you hear a negative thing, say the opposite. Say the opposite of that negative thing. If you hear God doesn't love me, you have to say God does love me. If you hear you are ugly, you have to say I am not ugly. You have to say the opposite of it, because if you don't, those negative thoughts can overwhelm you and take power over you if you allow it.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes the victim of depression can just ride it out, trusting that God will bring comfort and that the situation will change. Other times, counseling and medication are required. God desires his children to know joy. Bouts of depression can serve to bring us closer to him through our struggles. So God has a purpose and a plan for everything. So Romans 5:3-5 says, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Thank you, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And then
then 1 Peter 1:6-7 says, in this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Your pain, your grieving, your suffering, your trials, your hurt, your brokenness, it is not in vain. It is not in vain, people of God. It is not in vain, okay? It is not in vain. There is a testimony behind it. There is a person that God has already attached you to that's waiting to hear from you, and they don't even know that they're waiting to hear from you. But God is walking you through what he's walking you through because he's preparing you. He's preparing you to minister to those that he has set aside just for you to minister to. So this, your pain and your suffering is not in vain, you guys. I'm talking to me, too. That's why I keep saying it. It is not in vain. Psalm 73:26 says, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart.
Thank you, Lord.
And my portion forever. Yes. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
All of our answers are right in the Bible.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. They're right here. They're right here for us to see. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, God. I can't express, and as you hear Minister Tabika now, I cannot express how important it is for us to renew our minds and to do so on a daily basis. When you get up in the morning and you brush your teeth, you wash your face, you know, and wash up, clean up, shower, whatever you do, you put on your clothes, you do all of that in the natural to get ready to go out and face the world. You do all of those natural things. Baby, spiritually, we should get up. We should purify ourselves with the word of God. That's our washing up. We should purify ourselves. Then we should put on the full armor of God. That is us getting dressed for the spiritual warfare that we have to face. So just the way we do in the natural and getting dressed for the world, we need to get dressed and prepared for our spiritual walk. And, daily, listen, every morning, beloved, when I wake up and before I get out of bed, I don't do my devotional and all that before I get out of bed. I know a lot of saints do, and I take my hat off to them. The one thing I do, though, before I get out of bed is say this verse. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I shall rejoice and be glad in it. Instantly, I am commanding my spirit to rejoice in this day. It is the day that the Lord has made, and I shall rejoice and be glad in it. So whatever is coming up in this day, I preparing myself to deal with some things that have come up in the day, and in the end of it all, no matter how bad it gets, it's my intent to rejoice and be glad in it. And I must keep telling myself that over and over again. I cannot tell you how many negative thoughts run through my head on a daily basis. I get bombarded with it. Thoughts about myself, thoughts about my relationships, thoughts about things that I'm dealing with other people, you know. And so thoughts are coming at me every which way, you know. And when you go through all of that, it is no wonder that one is depressed. But I must go back to the word of God and hold on to what God says and stand on that word and believe that more than I believe my feelings. And your feelings are real to you, beloved. Your feelings, they are real to you. But learn how to take authority over it. learn how. It doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen overnight. So learn how to take authority over this. Beloved, we have come to the end of our time. We have come to the end of our time. And I trust that you got something out of this. And I'm trusting that one of the things my lovely Joyce tells me, you know, we always tell you, you know, you can press one on your keypad so that you can say something if you desire. And I know Joyce has said to me too many times, she says, the stuff that you're saying is so good, I don't want to interrupt. I want to get all the notes. I want to get all of this. And, you know, so therefore I don't buzz in all the time, you know, to say something. And I pray that's what happened today, that this information was so powerful, it was so good that you couldn't buzz in. And you couldn't buzz in. So, but to God be the glory. Wait a second. Here's Joyce. Yes, my love. Yes. God bless you, woman of God.
Oh, all I can say is yes, Lord, yes.
Amen. 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 Yeah, it was powerful, and I'm grateful, y'all, because we were able to get through the entire thing. By the way, we were reading and getting out information from an article written Compelling Truth. Compelling Truth. You can find that on www.compellingtruth.org. And you can do /Christian Depression. Or just put in their search bar, you know, how should a Christian deal with depression? And that's where our information came from and so forth. And, of course, you know, we added all that the Holy Spirit had us add in as we were going about. All right, my love. God bless you. Joyce, thank you, Lord. Thank you, my love. Thank each and every one of you. I know we had some new callers on today. God bless you. Thank you for joining us today. It was good to see new numbers up for us today. Saints of God, go and rejoice in this day. This is the day that the Lord has made. You don't have to settle for depression and sadness throughout the day. Even if you live with someone that you feel that is the cause of your depression, honey, rejoice in the Lord. Praise him. Worship him. These are weapons of your warfare. Yeah, that's right. Weapons of warfare. Praise God. Worship him. Two different things, y'all. Two different things. In the praise, you're dancing around and so forth and so on and yelling hallelujah, bless the Lord, glory to God. And sometimes in the worship, it is a thing. It can be more solemn, you know, that you just worshiping, you just bowing before him, you're resting in him, you're thanking him, you know, for all that he is, not what he's done. You're worshiping him for who he is. Worship him for who he is. God is good. God loves you. He intends the best for you. He has great thoughts about you. Great thoughts about you. Wonderful thoughts about you. Beloved, don't give up. Do not give up. I say that almost every Sunday as I'm giving the word. Don't give up. As God gives me whatever it is we're teaching on, don't give up on God, because he won't give up on you. He won't give up on you, beloved. God knows that you can make it through. You just have to know it now. And then go forth in his name. Go forth in his name. Babies, I love you. I love you. Please know that I love you with all my heart. But no matter how much I love you, know that God loves you more. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Tabika, love you, baby. God bless you.
Love you,
y'all,
baby.
Have a
God
wonderful,
bless.
Wonderful weekend. Amen. God bless.
Thank you for listening to Heart with Bishop Etta Banks. Heart to Heart is an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life, Kingdom Builders. Please visit our ministry website at www.newvisionforlife.com. As always, beloved, I pray that God will bless you and bless you mightily. And as he does, you will turn around and bless someone else. And then that person will turn around and bless someone. Then that person will turn around and bless God Almighty for the blessings that he bestowed upon them. And then God, in his awesome and infinite wisdom, will turn around and bless you one more time because you knew what to do with the blessings he bestowed upon you. I thank God for the completion of the circle of blessings. I beseech you, therefore, in the name of Jesus, that you go forth today and be a blessing to someone. And when you do, do so on purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.